This is Open House, presented by the BC Real Estate Association. On this episode, we talk to pollster Mario Canseco from Research Co. on what the public thinks about the current state of BC's housing market. Hi, and welcome back to Open House by BCREA. I'm Tony Joe. Thanks for joining us. This episode was recorded on April 26th, 2021. On today's show, we continue our conversation about BC's hot real estate market and talk to Research Co. President Mario Canseco about what the public is thinking. If after the conversation, you would like to learn more about the survey we reference, just visit bcreapodcast.ca and click on the April 2021 episode for a link to a blog post with more information. I'm excited to talk to him and hear what he has to say. And I'm thinking you'll benefit by listening too. So let's get right to it. It's no surprise to our listeners that the BC housing market is busy. We've been experiencing record numbers of home sales for months now, with prices rising and the competitiveness being at levels maybe never seen before. For sellers and agents alike, that can be welcomed. Of course, there is also concern that the market might be getting out of control and out of reach for some. And there have been calls from all different corners for intervention. But what do the people putting in the offers and putting up the money actually think about what's happening? For some answers, today we welcome Mario Canseco to the show. He is president of Research Co. and has analyzed and conducted public opinion research since 2003 for clients across the private and public sectors. Throughout his career, Mario has coordinated research teams for a global public opinion firm that operated in Canada, the United States, and Britain, and has had a very accurate record at predicting election results. So I'm sure his research on BC's housing market will provide some valuable insight about what homeowners, buyers, renters, and the general public think about this hot market. Mario, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Tony. It's great to be here with you and to chat about the topic that has become top of mind in the province for a few years now, which is housing. You know, we had a situation back in the early stages of the 21st century when people were worried about healthcare. Then it was more about the environment when Al Gore was touring the world with his PowerPoint on a climate change. And then it became housing. It is definitely and has been consistently the number one issue facing British Columbia, which is a very big difference from what we see in other parts of the country. We still see Alberta, Ontario, to a lesser extent, Quebec, worried about other things. Housing is definitely more of a West Coast issue when we're talking to Canadians.
And it's remarkable when you consider that we're still in a pandemic, and who would have thought that housing would have been one of the top issues, right?
Well, what's really fascinating about COVID-19 is we started to see a situation in the early stages of this pandemic when it was the number one issue by far. And I think, you know, people realized fairly quickly that this was going to take longer than they expected. And, you know, one of the things that was quite curious when I was tracking this was to hear people say in March of 2020, we'll be fine by Victoria Day. And then it was, we'll be fine by Thanksgiving. And then it was, we'll be fine by Christmas. Yeah. And they started to come to this slow realization that this was going to take longer than they thought. And I think that made a lot of people concentrate on other things that they wanted to deal with. You know, we started to see more concerns about healthcare, more concerns about the economy and jobs. And in BC, we saw everybody go back to the same situation we had before, which was housing.
Yeah. So tell us about what Research Co. does.
Well, we are a public opinion firm. We deal with a lot of public affairs issues. We don't do a lot of market research. We're more interested in the sociological, political aspects of life in Canada. We do a lot of research in the United States as well. We do elections. It's definitely a nice way in which we get the opportunity to talk about stuff that other people maybe haven't really thought about, to have this opportunity to ask representative samples how they feel about specific things. And it's an interesting time to do it because it's a situation that is changing every week. You know, we have ways in which you are reacting to the way governments handle things, for instance, that can be very different depending on the decisions that they took over the course of the past 3 or 4 days, and also helping clients understand how to navigate things.
We are here today to talk about a recent survey, which you did. It includes questions about BC's housing market. And this was really recent, was April 9th or thereabouts, right?
Yes.
Tell us generally about the survey.
Well, there was some curiosity on the part of the BCREA to try to figure out how people were reacting to the housing market. You know, what is leading to the all-time records in new listings and home sales? Part of this was based on the anecdotal evidence that we've seen consistently on social media related to, well, this is happening because realtors are trying to get the market back and you know, they might be the ones who are responsible for driving this. And when we ask British Columbians, and this is where we do representative samples, you know, one of the problems that we see on social media for anything, it can be sociological, it can be political, it can be the way you feel about vaccination, for instance. You have that echo chamber, you have that group of people who think alike and who are going to blame somebody for something. And when we ask them, you know, who is responsible for this? You know, why are we having this really hot real estate market right now? 43% of them say it's the low interest rates. You know, it's a good opportunity to try to borrow money, to try to get into the market if you have to. 29% said it's the pandemic. You know, that might be forcing people to change their ways and maybe try to get into the market quickly. We had 18% who said there's a low supply, and that is one of the reasons why everything is flying off the shelves. And we only had 10% who said it's the realtor's fault. So you look at it differently because social media was telling us it's the realtors. They're really pushing things and they're essentially telling people to buy and doing things differently from the way they were used to doing it just a few months ago. But it's ultimately the low interest rates. I think people look at this and certainly know that there's a connection between the low interest rates and the way in which the market has been reacting.
I'm looking at the survey results here. The detail here is unbelievable. Now, just stepping back a moment here as to who was polled. So this is a cross-section of the community, or were they specifically buyers or sellers, or what was the focus?
Well, we wanted to make it representative of the entire population of BC. We had ultimately 804 BC adults who took the survey. And what we like to do always is to have that level of granularity for the analysis, looking into issues such as annual household income. Obviously, you need to have the right mix of genders and age groups. And also looking into how people are living right now. Are they renting? Are they owning their own place? There are some nuances to the way they might react to certain things related to the housing market based on the situation that they have. And it's important to really know whether there are going to be some changes here. You know, sometimes you look at the housing issue and there's a lot of people who are renting who are dissatisfied with the way housing is going, and there might be some owners who aren't as dissatisfied. So this is why we try to have that level of granularity for everything that we do, because the groups in themselves tell a very different story from the actual province-wide breakdowns.
Wow. So it's not surprising that the answers differ by age group, and you've got it broken down here, you know, as you've referred to a moment ago. Are these answers consistent with what you might see at a different time?
What's really fascinating here is there's a certain sense of misunderstanding on the part of millennials on the way things work. You know, they are more likely to be saying that it's the pandemic. The pandemic is the thing that is exacerbating all of this real estate transactions. But when you look at Generation X, when you look at baby boomers, they're more likely to say it's the low interest rate. So there's a certain reaction that we see from millennials on specific issues. You know, they are the youngest adults, they haven't been around for so long, and they might have some difficulties understanding the financial ramifications of the low interest rates. But we don't see that type of situation with anybody who's over the age of 35. So those types of situations are important to look into. This is not to say that nobody's talking about the low interest rates in the younger group, but they're more likely to say, well, everything's related to the pandemic, and this is why we have a hot housing market right now. And obviously, people who are older, more experienced, who have lived through times when the interest rates weren't as low as they are right now, are saying, no, this is it. It has nothing to do with the pandemic.
Yeah. And it's a significant amount. It's 43%. It's 2 in 5 British Columbians. They think that interest rates are the factor.
Yes. And what's really interesting here, we don't see a lot of changes from Metro Vancouver to other parts of the of BC. We have 44% of Metro Vancouverites who say it's the low interest rates. And obviously, you know, you have the largest populated area. It's an important component of every analysis. And it is ultimately the driver when it comes to housing. You know, we look at specific issues when we ask about the number one issue facing British Columbia. Metro Vancouver is the one that pushes housing over the top. We don't see the same level of concern in the Fraser Valley or in the Okanagan or in Vancouver Island, where they're more likely to be worried about healthcare or the environment. So looking into the Metro Vancouver breakdown definitely helps.
Yeah, and I am looking at the breakdown here because you have Metro Vancouver, Fraser Valley, Northern BC, Southern BC, and Vancouver Island. And as you said, it is pretty consistent across the board with interest rates being the primary factor, with the exception of Northern BC.
Yeah, Northern BC is an interesting case because we do see a little bit of a shift there. They're more likely to be looking at the pandemic. It's a fascinating dilemma in the sense that they haven't had a lot of cases. The communities, for the most part, haven't been as affected as other parts of the province, but they have felt it more when it comes to job creation. And I think that is one of the reasons that is certainly tilting the numbers in Northern BC, not only on the questions about housing, but on other things that we've asked over the past couple of months. So you don't have the cases, but because tourism isn't where it used to be, and you don't have a lot of economic activity that you would be having without this COVID-19 pandemic, I think that is making Northern BC residents essentially blame COVID for more stuff.
Very interesting. Okay, well, with all this said, there's been a lot of talk about potential government intervention to cool the market here in BC and across Canada. You also looked into this, and what did you find?
Well, this is something that happens a lot when you're doing sociological research. There's a gut reaction from people that the government should do something. We have 56% who say the federal government should intervene to slow down the real estate market, 62% who feel the same way about the BC government. So you have significant majorities of residents who say, okay, something needs to be done because this is something that is troubling us. A higher proportion of people aged 18 to 34 who feel this way. Now, this is crucial, particularly from the standpoint of the federal government. We may be heading into an election. We know that the Liberal Party in British Columbia is essentially an urban party. You know, they don't have ridings in any place located outside of Metro Vancouver. They lost a few of the seats that they won in 2015, and they're desperate to try to get some of those seats back, particularly in areas such as Surrey or Vancouver. The younger voter is the one who is saying federal government do something about this. So politically, it might make sense for them to make a couple of announcements or to try to deal with this. But when we ask British Columbians about what mechanisms they want, the level of support is not as high for many of these things. You know, and what's fascinating to me is when we ask them, should we raise the interest rates? There's only 35% who say yes, by all means. So you want the intervention, but when you deal with the nuclear option, you're more likely to say, yeah, maybe not.
Well, let's talk about those topics then, because you just talked about the interest rates and how it was only 35% that suggested this. There's other things too. So for instance, the B20 stress test.
Yes.
And buyers qualifying for mortgage. So what was their take on that?
Well, this is very important because what we see here is 50% of British Columbians saying it's a good idea to strengthen the mortgage stress test. And it's definitely something that is widely accepted. We don't see a lot of changes from gender, from age groups. They do believe that this makes perfect sense to be the solution, if you will, that the government should be thinking about. So we don't have the same level of support for low interest rates. There's other things that are certainly less popular, such as introducing a capital gains tax. There's 31% who say it's a good idea to do that if you're selling your own residence. And understandably so, those who own the residences are significantly less likely to believe that this is a good idea.
Yeah.
So it's ultimately about making sure that the people who are taking the mortgages can cover them more than trying to implement a new tax that is going to be used. Now, certain taxes have been remarkably popular in British Columbia, particularly the speculation tax and the foreign owners tax, which is it's really the best tax you can plan, because it's the only tax that can be applied for people who can't vote for you. So that is one of the reasons for this tax to be as popular as it is right now, because there's very few people who say, this is going to affect me because I won't vote for them in the next election. Well, no, because you can't.
Interesting. Well, so we've talked about interest rates, and you touched on capital gains and the B20 stress test, and also just touched on foreign buyer tax. And let's talk about a couple of other things that the survey does cover and has to do with the offer process. So for instance, multiple offers, which have become commonplace in the state of the market, some think that addressing that part of negotiation could temper a bidding war. So what did your respondents say about multiple offers?
Well, that was the one thing that is widely supported. 79% of respondents to the survey said it's a good idea to ensure transparency when there are multiple offers. Now, this definitely depends on the specific behavior of those who are involved in those transactions. But the idea of stopping subject-free offers was not particularly palatable. We only had 46% who believe this is a good idea, 24% say it's bad, 31% are undecided, partly because they haven't really experienced anything like what we're seeing in the market right now. So it's interesting in the sense that you want to ensure transparency in all of the dealings that are happening related to housing. So this is no exception, and this seems to be the one option that people gravitated towards. But again, you know, we don't see a lot of support for the notion that the realtors are the ones who are pushing this. So you're asking for that transparency, but you don't think there's a problem with the way things are happening right now.
Well, let's step back, because I know that I'm sure that some of our listeners, their ears might have perked, because you just made referenced stopping subject-free offers, because that was one of the questions that was on the survey, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And it's not something that people would like to see happening, you know, and certainly not at the same level as ensuring transparency or dealing with some of the other things that we have, particularly when it comes to the notion of what happens when you are already the owner of the place. And, you know, we don't see a situation here. Renters, 49% of them say, yes, stop this type of offer. But it drops all the way to 43% with those who are owners of their place. So it depends on the type of transaction. And it's ultimately not something that can be handled perfectly, because there is going to be people who will require to do things fairly quickly and who won't have a problem trying to do something that is subject free. I guess, you know, one of the ways to look at this is if you're looking into a way to change the guidelines that we have at our disposal, this would be like wielding an axe. Okay, let's just do this and stop the subject-free offers. British Columbians are looking for a steak knife right here. Okay, let's deal with something that is different. Let's ensure that there's transparency. If you have multiple offers, let's try to do something different. But we don't need to change the rules at this stage, because not a lot of people believe that this is what should be done.
Interesting. So, and again, this is a reminder about the fact that, it, like you said, it depends on who's answering the question, because subject-free offers, of course, every seller wants that, but it is a bone of contention with buyers, because they're frustrated having lost out to competitors that are subject-free, right?
Yes. And you know, one other thing that was supported by more than 2 in 5 respondents was allowing for an automatic step-up clause that allows bidding by increments. You know, there's this notion that maybe somebody is bidding way too high for a specific property, and they probably would have secured the sale if they had done so in increments, similar to what you have on some of the online bidding sites. This is an intriguing idea. I don't know how easy it is going to be to implement. There's certainly a higher level of support for it at 43%. There's 22% who don't believe this should be happening. Again, we have more than a third who are undecided. This promotes an interesting idea, but it also provides a challenge as far as ways in which you can do this, ensuring transparency, but also knowing that the outcome is going to be the one that should happen.
Well, and this is something that has come up many times over the course of the past year, and that is the notion of referential offers. So an offer that when somebody puts in, that the buyer will pay $1,000 or $5,000 more than the next highest offer. Just a reminder to any of our listeners here, because most of them are realtors in the province of British Columbia, the Real Estate Council of British Columbia does not condone that behavior because it's an offer that references another one. It cannot stand on its own two feet. So it's an imperfect offer. But it's interesting for your research, Mario, about the fact that it is something that consumers have some feeling that that should exist. Right?
Well, and you know, one of the situations that I see with this is the assumption from most respondents is that this will work in the same way that it does when you're bidding for, you know, concert tickets or you know, a Christmas themed basket. You know, it's much more complicated than that because of everything that a real estate transaction entails. Yeah. So many of them might be thinking, well, this is just the same way as any other bidding site. No, this is completely different. They want to have some sense that this could happen to them, but it's definitely not as easy as it might seem.
Well, that is a really important point too, Mario, because it's not just the price. Like if you're bidding for those concert tickets, it's just the price. Whereas with a real estate transaction, there's a number of other aspects, dates, conditions, terms, all of these things. Sometimes it's not just the price.
Right? Well, and you know, one way I would look at it, if we continue to use the example of the tickets, is it's like essentially putting a bid to go to the Rolling Stones concert, but not knowing if they're going to play the song you like. Right? Like, okay, but I paid all these tickets and I wanted to hear Satisfaction, yeah, and they never played Satisfaction. Well, see, that's the way it works.
Interesting. Well, you know, I want to wrap up this conversation about the offers thing because the other question that you had was ensuring transparency. So, and that was something that seemed to have a fair amount of support, right?
Yes, it's one of the highest, 79% of respondents who say it's a good idea to ensure transparency when there are multiple offers.
Now, and what would that look like? Like, because there was just a question, but do you have any sense of what the consumers had in mind when they think transparency?
Well, when they think transparency, they're saying to themselves, everybody's going to be there. There's not going to be any sort of discussion that happens before the multiple offers take place. It's the kind of thing that you say yes to because it makes perfect sense and it essentially provides for an equitable market. It doesn't mean that they believe that there's no transparency happening. And I think this is also something that has to be considered. You know, we're not hearing from the respondents that they don't think that the transactions are not happening over the counter, if you will. They definitely want to ensure that transparency is there. But the level is almost as high or a little bit higher than what we hear for the other thing that was exceedingly popular, which is increasing the housing supply. 75% of residents say this is what we would like to see happening. So you want to have transparency. Doesn't mean that it's not happening already. But the one thing that you're also desperate for, particularly renters, it's increasing the housing supply. Okay, there's a hot market, and this is something that everybody can enjoy if you have the opportunity to have more supply. If the actual properties that are being exchanged are out of my price range, then this isn't going to do it for me.
Yeah, so the respondents are aware of the fact that it's an inventory shortage, and supply would definitely help the situation.
Well, and it's something that we've seen consistently for the past few years. You know, one of the crucial aspects of this, especially when you're analyzing political findings here in British Columbia, is there's a definitely popular tax that has been implemented. Some of them began with the BC Liberals, others were implemented by the BC NDP. But the main difficulty that they're having right now is that you haven't been able to cut some ribbons. You haven't been able to say, okay, this is how much we collected from the taxes that we implemented, the speculation tax, the foreign owners tax, and this is what we're building with it. It takes a little bit longer to try to establish that emotional connection with voters. And the next election is now 3.5 years away. So it's complicated for the government to say, okay, we're doing all of these things on housing and people are still desperate because they feel that the housing supply hasn't increased. So we might continue to see something like this where you have this chicken and egg phenomenon where everybody's concerned about housing. The government is saying that they're saving money, which will be used for something. But we continue to see the same desperation from those who want to get into the market.
Well, because this is one of the things, like in BC, there's been some money earmarked for affordable housing, not a lot, if at all.
Yeah.
But addressing the current housing market is something that hasn't necessarily been there, right?
Well, and it's something that happens more at the municipal level. You know, we've asked about new regulations in the city of Vancouver, for instance, and they have been immensely popular. There's a small group that is rejecting the notion of, you know, building four-story duplexes or six-story multiplexes. It's certainly a lower level of support for not allowing that in your neighborhood than what we see from residents who say, well, this is a good idea. You know, there's more people moving in here. Maybe we should have a couple of buildings here or there. And we end up in discussions about sight lines and shadows. This isn't really supported by a lot of people. But again, you know, it's similar to what we saw earlier with the social media commentary. You know, if you follow the same 10 people who don't want anything built anywhere near their house, you're going to get the impression that this is how the entire city feels. And it's just not true.
Well, that is something that I took away from the survey results here as well, because a number of years ago, you know, when the foreign buyer tax came in and everything, there was all this dialogue about curbing demand instead of increasing supply. So to read the results here and to see that the respondents actually understand that supply is limited and having more supply is a good thing really was an eye-opener for me. That was interesting.
Well, and it's something that has been consistent for the past few years. I think there's a situation where if you have a new development, if you have a new place where somebody can move in, it's something that gradually starts to change minds. And what we've seen consistently is there's a difficulty in getting into the market, especially for millennials. You know, they are the ones who are driving the level of concern about housing within British Columbia, but specifically in Metro Vancouver. And you start to see those trends manifesting themselves politically. You know, one of the reasons for the BC Liberals to lose a lot of the Fraser Valley ridings in the last provincial election was because a lot of people who were young and couldn't really establish themselves in Metro Vancouver ended up going to the Fraser Valley. And they changed the makeup of those communities politically. They're more likely to be progressive and more of a center-left mindset. And that is one of the ways in which you lose that control over specific areas where you used to be popular. This is partly what is happening. You know, if we had this some sort of time machine and went back and allowed everybody who wanted to settle in Metro Vancouver to settle in Metro Vancouver and to have a housing market where every millennial has an apartment, then maybe the BC Liberals don't lose those ratings.
So are you able to sum up generally what the participants were thinking in terms of intervention and specific measures?
Well, it's definitely something that happens whenever you're doing policy work. You know, yes, government should do something. Okay, these are the options. Don't mess with the interest rates. I don't think I'm ready for something like that. Uh-huh. I want to ensure transparency. I want to make sure that anybody who's bidding has an opportunity to do this. But the number one thing, aside from the transparency, which is always going to be present, I mean, I don't think we're going to see a lot of people who say, no, I want everything to be untransparent. But it's ultimately the increase in the housing supply. And that has been one of the major problems, particularly because of the way municipalities are dealing with things. You know, anybody who follows municipal politics within the Lower Mainland will see how much time is spent discussing new developments and how to do things. And all the councillors have their say, or people who are opposed to changing the makeup of their communities or coming up with their own surveys. You know, most of the discussions related to this are about housing. And it's quite interesting because if we go back to the council meetings of 10, 15 years ago, particularly in the city of Vancouver, it was all about bike lanes. It was all about transportation. It was all about whether you could park your car or not, even though we're discussing that again. But it's interesting to watch how that has changed into more of a discussion about housing. And it hasn't really led to a dent in the number of people who believe that housing is the number one issue. So part of it is also something that is bureaucratic. You know, you have to go through all of this process and all of these discussions and all of the consultation in order to allow people to say that they want to have something done. But it isn't happening at the pace that those who are desperate to get into the market would want it to happen. And it takes time. It's
well, that's a whole, also, That's a whole other conversation.
Oh, no, we could be here for 6 hours.
Okay, well, so the of course, realtors are going to be very interested in this survey. And again, I like, because I'm a practicing agent and there are thousands of agents in British Columbia, many of whom are listening to this. We've all been reading about how realtors are the mustache twirling in the dark, you know, bad guys that are driving this up. And you started at the very beginning by saying the good news for the real estate community is that's not what the respondents feel. That is not one of their largest touch points. So what do you think realtors should take away from this data?
Well, I think the crucial aspect here is that there's a level of trust in the profession that has been climbing the charts. You know, we've been asking questions for BCREA for the past few years. And there was a time, you know, 2015, 2016, when the numbers just weren't there, when there was a lot of hesitation about the way realtors were doing their jobs. Now, I'm a pollster. I know exactly what that feels like because we had a time when the elections didn't go so well and the industry was criticized for it. But now the numbers have shifted. You know, we see a lot more trust from British Columbians related to realtors than we used to see before. Certainly higher than other professions. And, you know, to me, that is one of the essences here. There's always going to be that group that doesn't like what you're doing, that is going to be heavily critical of whatever it is that you're planning, particularly on social media. You know, I've done 97 elections in my life. 96 of them went perfectly. Guess which one everybody points out when I'm on social media? It's normal, but the numbers just aren't there. And I think it's the same situation when it comes to realtors. You know, there's going to be that criticism. There's going to be that fixation on the one story about the one person who did something that was illegal. But it doesn't mean that it's something related to the entire profession. And the numbers have certainly been climbing upwards when it comes to the way people feel about realtors because they have to base this on their own experiences. One of the things that we always ask is, okay, let's discuss your last transaction. Oh, my realtor was fantastic. Oh, this was great. Well, then don't you have a better opinion of these people? Because this is your experience with somebody who helped you buy a house or sell a house. And to me, that is one of the crucial aspects here. You always return to your own experience with somebody. And those who have actually experienced this are more likely to say they are a good bunch of people and they helped me and I'm very happy with the way they dealt with my needs. If you've never dealt with a realtor and you're upset because the housing market is a mess and you can't get in it, you're more likely to say that you're dissatisfied. But it's not something that is based in reality. It's just perception. Similar to what happens to us, you know. Oh, all the pollsters are terrible. Okay, fine. Here's my track record. How do you feel now?
Well, you know, this is not without effort because, of course, the organizations and associations like BCREA have been working very hard to increase the professionalism of agents. And as much as it's been difficult for licensees to have to ensure that they are staying on top of their education and everything, like you have pointed out, it is paying off in the eyes of the consumer public. Thank you very much, Mario Canseco from Research Co. Thank you for joining us and sharing that great research. That brings us to the end of this episode of Open House by BCREA. Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed the show, please share it with your colleagues and your networks. And again, if you would like to learn more about the survey we talked about and some of the results, just visit bcreapodcast.ca and click on the April 2021 episode for a link to the blog post with more information. Stay tuned into BCREA's Facebook, Twitter, YouTube and LinkedIn channels for the latest news for realtors. And be sure to follow the recently launched Instagram page. If you have questions or comments, feel free to email podcast@bcrea.bc.ca. I'm Tony Joe. Thanks again for joining. Talk to you again soon.